Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. This episode, we discuss extreme builds from extended ATX motherboards to the massive towers they demand. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McKinney.
Dennis, recently I had the opportunity to review a couple of cases. And these are not the normal cases that we would have here at Hardware Asylum. These are special.
It's really difficult to get special cases because they have a very limited market. And sometimes companies want to publish them and promote them. And other times they're just really too expensive to send out.
So the two cases that I'm talking about are first Cooler Master's latest from their half series. That's the high airflow series, 700. This one's called the Berserker. So this is brand new case from Cooler Master. Now, by the time this podcast goes live, that case will also be out of NDA, and you'll be able to read our review on that case. Specifically, that case and this case that's right in front of us, the Thermaltake Tower 500. And I say we wouldn't normally review these, and you kind of alluded to why, because they're gigantic.
Yeah, they're big.
And huge. And they're not for the normal build. So since it's no fun to talk just about cases, I thought it might be fun to talk about why we would want to build these extreme cases. What kind of builds go in these? The differences about the form factors. And let's just talk big for a change, because I know at Hardware Asylum, for years we've been telling folks that case builds and case designs are getting smaller, right? Micro ATX motherboards are doing things that standard motherboards used to do. Mm-hmm. We're getting water cooling on standard size boards. I mean, everything's getting smaller and more efficiency built into it, which is what you'd expect with technology.
Mm-hmm. But you can go big still.
So you can still go big. All right, let's start with what big is, because as you mentioned, the podcast is not visual. So we've got cases that are built for larger than ATX motherboards. And there are multiple form factors. I thought we'd start there.
All right. If you really wanted to see all the form factors, you can go out to Wikipedia. There's a motherboard form factor page, and we can kind of reference some of these. So a common one, ATX. The standard ATX form factor is 12 inches by 9.6 inches.
Now, if you don't know what size your motherboard is, it is probably an ATX motherboard.
Exactly. Some of the slightly larger versions of the ATX would fall into the SSI EEB or CEB, and those are 12 inches by 10.5 inches or 13, depending on which one of those you get. Now, what that is basically the same height as an ATX motherboard, but it's wider. And by wider, you get extra components on there. And that's where in some of our case reviews, we post a picture of the motherboard in the chassis, so you can get an idea of where cables can go and if the motherboard will actually fit and stuff like that.
I think fit and finish is really important when you're building, especially if you have larger components like some of the more modern video cards. Mm-hmm. And the rumored 4Xs may be 4 slots wide. We'll have to see. Yeah. But I know that particular form factor, the SSI or what is it, single server infrastructure, something like that.
Yeah, they were designed for servers, actually.
Not very common, but you can, in the enthusiast world, get these larger sizes. Mm-hmm. Most often we kind of group them as extended ATX cases just as a category, but that's not very accurate.
No, extended ATX is kind of a generalization for those that are just larger than an ATX. For instance, there was an MSI motherboard that I overclocked on, and it had something like 8 or 9 expansion slots, and they called that the XL ATX because it was extra tall. And you needed a special chassis to even put this motherboard in. And a lot of people would have to modify a regular case just to install this motherboard. It was crazy.
That is a little crazy and you know, honestly, a little extreme. Maybe that's what the E in ATX is supposed to stand for.
Yeah, I think so. Well, and that is one reason why we don't see those motherboards anymore, because the only way you could really run them is on a test bench. You know, and I had a special board made that would support that entire motherboard because there was an extra set of holes that you needed to support if you wanted to put a video card there. Granted, back then when this board was relevant, 4-way SLI was also relevant. And the reason they added those extra slots was to give you a PCI slot's worth of space between each card for proper cooling.
And that makes sense, even if that is a little bit of an antique design these days. Mm-hmm. I want to name check a couple more motherboards before we go through, because some of these motherboards are the ones that get a lot of press, especially when we go to things like CES. We talk a lot about the parallels between cars and and when you look at an EATX motherboard, a lot of times it's kind of the same as looking at, you know, a boutique build supercar. You're going to like drool Bugatti. Over it. It's very exciting. It gets a lot of press, but you're probably not going to buy it.
Well, no, it makes it somewhat impractical, depending on how you want to put your system together.
Now, these are not necessarily unicorns, though, right? You can get these boards. Well, for the most part.
Yeah. Like, for instance, I think on your list, you had the ROG Dominus Extreme.
Right. And I hear a lot about the Dominus Extreme. It's got a cool name.
It does.
Great looking motherboard.
It was released something like 3 years ago, and you can still buy it because the processor that it supports is still relevant. And this particular motherboard, they call it an EEB form factor, and that's 14 inches by 14 inches.
Okay.
Which means that it's going to be 2 inches taller than standard ATX. It's also going to be 4 inches wider than standard ATX. So you need a special case if you want to actually install this particular motherboard.
Now, I know there are some newer ones, though, that are oversized. In fact, in the main this month, we talked about one that I know is very exciting for you. Mm-hmm. That's the Kingpin edition from EVGA, the latest dark, the Z690.
And EVGA calls that the EATX form factor. And it turns out that the dimensions are smaller than I expected it to be, because it's going to be a 12-inch tall standard ATX by 11 inches wide. So it's a little bit larger than standard ATX by about an inch and a half. And if you look on the board, you can kind of tell by looking at where the mounting holes are.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because on a standard ATX, you should have three of them. Most of them only have two these days because they're a little bit shorter than that. But when you get to that third one, that's when you get to where you need to consider whether or not this motherboard will fit in certain cases. And the EVGA board kind of goes an inch past that.
And I think that's because with a standard ATX, those are corner mounts usually. So it's in the corner of the board. You can get a good idea of how much longer it is by how much past that third hole the board goes. All right, so let's go back a little bit to a classic. Now, this is a motherboard that we all talked a lot about when it first came out and drooled over, if you will. The Rampage V or 5 Extreme.
Yeah, this was a great board. Four-way memory support, supported four-way SLI. It came with an external overclocking device that would allow you to change stuff.
Fancy.
It was actually a really nice board. The thing was with this particular motherboard is it didn't fit in a lot of standard cases because they called it the SSI EEB. It was much larger than a standard ATX.
Again, going back to what would normally have been a server-sized card, was it safe to say on this that they intended that it wouldn't go in cases? This was for, benchmarking and overclocking folks that would have an open bench or a no case design?
Yeah, it was designed for overclocking. It was intended to be used on an open test bench. And the people that did build with this particular motherboard spent a lot of time finding and searching out the perfect chassis. And there were chassis available during this era that would support this particular motherboard. They were just big.
Which takes us, I think, to what I think is the most recent version that we've looked at here. And this is a board that we've talked about trying to do a build with, and it just hasn't come together. Mm-hmm. But this is Red Hot, a great example of the current state of an oversized motherboard, the MEG Z690. Godlike motherboard.
Yeah, and this one is kind of the epitome of going extreme for the sake of going extreme.
Hence the godlike, right? That's always been what that moniker's for.
Well, with the very first godlike that came out was the one that introduced RGB lights to motherboard installations. You know, it had those seven different patterns that would go throughout. It was the highlight of Computex when it got released. Now, the latest edition, the MEG Z690 Godlike, is a monster. It has some OLED screens on it, a lot of plastic coverings. I mean, basically you can see the CPU, the memory slots, and a couple of expansion slots, which will of course be covered once you install a video card.
Yeah, and this is a gorgeous, very expensive motherboard. It's really designed for these extreme builds. It's designed with water cooling in mind, top end components, and ironically, it's not as big as I expected, although they're billing it as an EATX. It measures in at only a more traditional 12 by 12.
It's a nice square. Square motherboard.
It's a nice square, which leads us back again to, I think, the cases, because we're looking at a giant square here.
Oh, it's, yeah, I like how you tied that together, actually. So we have, this is the Thermaltake Tower 500.
It is, and I'm not the only one, I think, that has referred to this particular case as a fish tank.
Yes, it is a bit like a fish tank, except that it's not going to hold much water because it has a lot of venting.
It does. Now, the reason that I want to talk about this particular case is because it is designed for larger builds. Now, not all of those motherboard designs will fit in this thing, ironically, because it's not as big as the Berserker, and we'll come back to that. What makes this case, I think, most appealing is the obvious, right? What do we got?
Lots of glass.
Lots of glass. Three big windows, and where there aren't windows, all the way around is venting.
Yeah. This particular design is probably the third generation of this tower design. The very first one was the Thermaltake Tower 900, and that is the one that Thermaltake built the Donkey Kong arcade in. You couldn't actually play Donkey Kong on it, but it was a full water cooling build. It was in the Donkey Kong colors. It had the Donkey Kong pictures all around it.
We'll have to find a link to it because it was one of the stars at CES, what, 3 years ago now?
Yeah, and it went to Computex too, and it was actually in the lobby at Thermaltake. I had gone in there and actually saw it. It was kind of fun. It was the epitome of a show build inside of a computer chassis. The design itself was also modder friendly. So they sent that particular chassis out to some famous modders who would come back with their own little designs and quirks and how to improve or not improve the particular chassis design. Well, Thermaltake took that and shrunk it down to make the Tower 100 Mini, the supported mini ITX motherboards, a single graphics card. There is a review of it on hardwareasylum.com. I'll put a link down in the show notes. And now we have the mid-range, which is the Tower
500.
Tower 500.
So I'm seeing a pattern here, 100 to 500 to 900. So all we need is an 1100 so we can turn it up to 11, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
If you're listening, that's a freebie. So nice. Let's take a look at this thing. Now, obviously, it has three windows, controls on top. But I know that it does some unique things that are different from what I would expect in a standard case. And some of it is because of the shape of it.
Yes, the orientation. So we have the video cards are kind of hang in the vertical position. So it's not vertical horizontally. It's actually vertical where they're exhausting up and out.
Right. So yeah, the plugs go up.
Yeah.
Now, isn't that a Silverstone did that, right?
Yeah, that was in the Raven, and that was something that they pioneered and patented, actually. So anybody that does a graphic card in that orientation has to pay Silverstone a little royalty, I guess. In this particular chassis, we have all the expansion slots exiting out the top. The cable management goes out the top. There's actually a hole in the top of the panel where the cables exit.
Very interesting.
And we need to also rotate the motherboard to support that. So CPU will be off to the right in the middle. The drives and power connections are exiting out the bottom.
Well, one of the nice things about that is it hides those extra peripherals down in the basement, what we would normally refer to as a two-chamber system. This is almost a three-chamber system.
It is, because we have a space behind the motherboard tray. We have space underneath in the basement, and we also have an area at the top, which is where all the cables reside and exit out of the chassis.
Very interesting. Now, clearly, with three pieces of glass, we don't have a lot of fans in this system. In fact, it only ships with two, and we will have a review for this coming up soon on the site. If it is done before this goes live, we'll link to it. If not, we'll sneak back and edit it in. Oh, somebody will.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, two fans, and these are basic fans. To me, they're clearly there just as a holdover to help you exhaust. But they're mounted behind the motherboard, which is interesting.
Yeah, and well, and with the way that the venting is all set up, the fans in the back are going to give you the most efficient cooling because it's going to pull the air in and back over top of the components instead of trying to sneak it by, which is good. Now, the one thing that I would like to mention with this particular chassis and any of the towers that we've talked about is that the design is a literal rectangle. So at the outer perimeter, if you look at it from the very top, is a square.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And in the vertical, that is where our height difference will change between the 900 and the 500 or even the 100. So we do have a form factor that anybody that picks this particular chassis is going to have to deal with. You're not going to be able to stick it under your desk and hope to get some leg room. This is one where you're going to be putting it up on top of the desk, off to the side, where everybody can see it, and you're not going to be able to put your anime and comic books over in that corner.
Well, there is that, but the advantage of that is, thanks to that fish tank style, right? Everything's on display.
Everything.
So it's really going to showcase those higher end builds. If your motherboard is something like the Godlike, for example, with OLED, all that's going to show up. Mm-hmm. This is your opportunity to spend some money on premium lighting, premium components with screens, that kind of stuff. Yep. And every dollar is going to be on display.
Exactly. And with a lot of Thermaltake cases, it is liquid cooling certified. There's several areas where you can mount pumps and radiators throughout this chassis. So cooling is not going to be a problem. Even if you go air cooling, you have enough volume inside this chassis that you'll be able to game for days and not overheat a single component.
Very much so. Now, there are some challenges, of course, to building in a case with a different form factor like this. And that is, things are in different places. We already talked about the orientation, running the cables, that type of thing. We'll go into that in a little more detail, of course, in the review. So check that out. But I also want to talk about the hot new Cooler Master Half 700, the Berserker.
Berserker. You know, when I saw the name of that case, the first thing that came to mind was the kid that was singing outside of the Quick Stop in the original
Clerks.
Clerks.
Very nice. I think we should try to find a link to that also and throw it out there because I don't know if it's family friendly. We'll find out. But anyway, definitely something to check out. Now, this is a review that will be live by the time you listen to this, so you can go back and look at the Berserker is a gigantic case as well. Now, Cooler Master does a similar thing with their numbering scheme. The Half 700 right now is their full-size or maybe even larger tower. They have Half 500s, and they go down from there. Mm-hmm. Now, Half, as I mentioned before, high airflow.
High airflow. It's been around for years. I was able to review the original Half when the site was called DinjaLane.com. It actually kind of still is. That case design was revolutionary because it was during an era when people were modding cases and adding extra fans to increase cooling because the factory designs did not support that. Now, here comes Cooler Master reacting to that, putting some big old monster fans in the chassis and making it to the point where it doesn't matter what you have inside, it's going to cool it.
One of the things I like about the Half series traditionally, especially with the 700s, are these are the showpieces of the Cooler Master line. Mm-hmm. So similar to this Thermaltake case, you got a lot of glass, although it's not a fish tank design, but you're going to get every option, every bells and whistle. This is as if you bought that sports car and just checked every box, money, no object. So you're going to get fancy clips, removable this, that, and the other. Again, check the review out because I think it's a different philosophy where this one is primarily built around, I think, the display aspect, mm-hmm. and it does everything else well, but that's not its primary goal. The Half cases, their primary design is airflow, high airflow, just like the name. Yep. So you're getting premium fans right out of the box. You don't have to buy fans. You get the best sickle flow fans that money can buy. You get a case that's specifically designed with performance and airflow in mind, and then you get all that appearance stuff extra.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that I noticed with this particular chassis that we should mention that supports the high airflow aspect of that chassis is the fact that it is kind of a case inside a case.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So on the motherboard tray, it's its own entity inside the chassis. It has its own rails. It has its own storage behind it. And beyond that is an air buffer. And that air buffer is important because we need to have volume to be able to cool things. And when we get really big fans and being able to position certain ones inside the chassis to blow on components that might get hot, we need to have that extra space.
I think that's a good point. We talked about the interesting chamber system on the Tower 500, mm-hmm. but the Half does it a little bit differently because we have the same multi-chamber design, but we have actually removable chambers in that one in the back where you might have, and you know, there's a drive tray system that you'll have to check out that's completely removable if you don't have physical drives that need it. You just take it out.
Yeah.
And the same with the chamber where the ARGB controllers are. It also doubles as drive controls, or you don't like it, take it out.
Take it out.
So it's probably the most unique in that it's modular. In fact, they also offer a line of parts that you can buy aftermarket for it. So kind of a different design style, but it also supports these giant motherboards.
Yeah, well, it's a monster case. I don't see why it shouldn't.
And ironically, I think it's the heaviest case that I've ever reviewed.
Yeah, it was a monster to carry around, that's for sure. And it had its own Well, we're talking about the packaging here at this point, right? It had its own way of removing it.
That's right.
So we had little plastic clips that held the top to the bottom.
It's a traditional pallet setup, right?
Yep.
You remove the clips and you tuck the top cover off, just like you would if you were buying a, you know, a lawn tractor or something, which is very interesting. And I don't know if I talked about that in the review, actually. So this is an exclusive, right?
Yeah, exclusive.
It's sold like a tractor.
And how to get it out of there. One nice thing that Cooler Master added to the box, speaking of the packaging, is some very large handles, which is important for the UPS or the FedEx guy that's going to be delivering it. Because if they can't hold on to the box, it's going to get kicked and pushed, and that makes damage.
It does say Team Lift recommended, which did make me laugh.
Yes, that's true.
All right, so we've talked a little bit about the cases because I think that's what we'll have reviews up for most, closest to the release of this. And I know the Dark is coming, but I think maybe we've talked a little bit about the craziness and the extremeness of these. Let's talk about some of the types of builds that go into these machines. And in particular, some of the builds we've seen. You've already talked about the Donkey Kong machine. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I've seen in some of these large cases, and the Thermaltake Tower 500 is not an example of that, but the half can do it, is a dual system build.
Right. So that is something that was really popular, I don't know, maybe 8 years ago. So there were several cases that you could buy that would support two systems. Cooler Master actually had one. It was the stacker. We had the little modular box that would sit on top or underneath it that you could put a mini ITX build into. And the reason for that was it varied, really. One could be like a low-powered system to go play music or watch TV or something like that. But for game streamers, it worked out pretty well that those systems would be the ones to do the broadcast on Twitch or on YouTube that you would log into or game into off of your main machine down below. So you could have your two video cards, your big massive processor, water cooling, everything. And if that particular system crashed, your stream didn't go offline because they were completely separate computers.
Well, you don't have any overhead that way too. So you don't have to worry about the performance and the gaming portion of your dual system build. Mm-hmm. So your streaming device is completely separate. And the nice thing about that also is it allows you to do two completely different things if you're not gaming. So you might have a rendering machine. Mm-hmm. And a business machine, for example. Now, we didn't see a lot of that because those builds just never really took off except for, you know, show-off machines, essentially.
Well, yeah. And on top of that, you know, computers have gotten a lot better with multi-cores being added and more memory. It's gotten cheaper to the point where these machines are overkill to the point where we don't need to offload any of that stuff. And any streamer that is advanced enough, there's going to have a completely separate server or something like that would handle that.
Well, and the rise of the external stream box, right? So you can buy almost every major label has one now, an external streaming controller where you can feed your video into that machine. It's going to process it and send it out the door.
Right.
So you can buy those specific stream boxes and they're not as expensive as a full build. So why spend the money on a big expensive dual system build?
Right. And that's kind of why they fell out of favor. If we go way back, you know, to our LAN party days, it was kind of a badge of honor to bring the biggest and the baddest case to the LAN so that it would just kind of show off, you know, you gave your, you know, little kudos of bringing a big monster machine in and showing off extra lights. And granted, back then, you know, they were just kind of lighted fans. They weren't RGB lighted fans. And water cooling was still in its infancy. But if you had a water cooling build, you know, that got you extra points.
Absolutely.
And in some cases, situations, if you will, these computers were custom built, everything. I mean, the components you would buy and assemble, but then the chassis was assembled by somebody else, or they modded two of them together to actually make the case as big as it was.
Well, we've done that in some of our projects too, where we've taken a couple of cases and combined them because we liked the features of one case and the features from a different case. And a great example of that was our View 31 build, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. We've got to swap out the bezel because we want high airflow instead of a shiny plastic piece.
Pretty simple. And I've seen that also done. And this takes us back to the half 700, where you might not want that glass window. You need a panel that you can install additional cooling into and additional fans or hardware mounts for that. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And while we were modding cases back then, manufacturers picked up on that. That is usually where they got all of their ideas and would start making these monster cases. Now, personally, I don't see the practicality of a super monster big chassis. Like, for instance, I don't think I would be the target demographic for a half 700. Not necessarily because it's really heavy and bulky, but I don't have a lot of extra space or reason or need to show off my build.
Well, I think that's a good point, because when we build the cases that we want to take to show off, right, they need to be portable. And if a case is 45 plus pounds before you put anything in it, especially extreme water cooling, right? That, I mean, you need, what do you need, a wagon, a forklift, something to carry this thing around? It takes the practicality out of it. And the half 700, I think, is a great example. And I want to talk about one very specific feature, and that's the extreme overclocking, extreme water cooling functionality, which is one of the most desirable reasons you would look at a case like that.
Yeah, you need space to put in your stuff.
But some of that's a little bit silly too. I mean, this takes, a 460 millimeter radiator in the top, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was huge.
And it's funny because we knock a lot of the extreme cases that are ATX cases because they don't fit the larger coolers. Mm-hmm. In particular, you see a lot of, 3x120, so 360 millimeter radiators. So it's just super common. But you don't see the 3x140s or even larger than that supported even in the premium cases.
No, it's because they are, believe it or not, 120 millimeter fans, regardless of how small they are, they're still the most popular fan that anybody buys and uses. I find it strange because 140 seems to be the standard. That's what they design cases around.
Right.
But then they still just install 120s.
Well, and it might be a cost thing because they're volume-based. Remember, it's the same thing when we were all running 80s, right?
Yeah.
Everything had 80s, and if you wanted 120s, you'd get a case. It would come with 80s, and if you were lucky, it supported 120s, and if it wasn't, out comes the Dremel, right?
Yep, and drilling some extra holes and making them fit.
And I think we're in a similar kind of transition right now where we're starting to see us move to where 140 or maybe even 200 becomes the new standard. Mm-hmm. And the half set has both built into it. In fact, it comes with five fans, also very impressive, but you pay for the privilege. Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that we're seeing 200 millimeters. And I think, I don't see, and again, this is kind of a get off my lawn moment, I don't see a system in the near future that's going to require, you know, 3x200, so a 600 millimeter water cooling system, but I like the idea that it could be possible.
Well, speaking of, we do have a new NVIDIA graphics card that, as of this particular podcast recording, was rumored to have something like a 600 watt TDP.
Oh, brutal.
Which means that's why we have 4-slot coolers in there. And maybe this new generation of chassis that has these 200 millimeter fans and support for radiators that support 200 millimeter fans are really just setting a precedence for allowing us to water cool those machines without having to go and break out the Dremel.
Oh, I see. So maybe while today we see the half 700 Berserker and the Thermaltake Tower 500 is crazy, extreme, overkill build machines, maybe when we meet again next year, that's what we're going to need. Time will tell.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS and follow us on Twitter. This has been a Ninja Lane production, copyright 2022. Thanks for listening.